Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today we have a good show for you. We're going to be talking today about core wounds, and we're going to be doing it in a positive way. We're going to be doing this in a positive way, non-negative way, non-stressful way. I mean, why deal with stuff in a stressful manner when we can have some fun with it? And I know that, you know, core wounds and fun, how do we get there? How do we make that happen? But you know what? I am going to make it happen. Right? Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to walk through this. We're going to have some fun doing it because guess what? Learning and growing and learning about ourselves and all that great stuff actually turns out to be something good, right? So over time, guess what? The more we learn, the more we grow. The more we grow, the happier we are. The happier we are, you know, heck, that just, it's a great thing. It's waves, right? It's a ripple effect, you know? Paying it forward. Okay, so we're going to be talking about core wounds today. We're going to talk about some of the signs that you have unhealed core wounds today. And we're going to talk about the list of core wounds. It's great. Yeah, it's going to be really introspective. And I think that's enough for today. I don't think we have any more time. Dan's going to show up here later on in the hour. We're going to be talking about some of the history behind Eli Lilly. Obviously a large pharmaceutical corporation that makes a lot of pharmaceuticals. We're going to be talking about that and kind of the beginning of that company and the beginning of the lineage of how that began. So very interesting. So, okay. So let's begin with understanding what a core wound is, and that will be helpful. What I've realized that is, you know, we're all, we all came from a family, right? We were all a child of someone. Okay, so let's start off with the obvious. We're all a child of someone. Okay, so we figured that one out. We've solved one question today. If we do that, that's awesome. But no, we're going to solve others, I swear. We're going to come up with something better than that. Okay, so we're all a child of someone, right? And being a child of someone, we take on stuff, right? We take on stuff, and so you can't be a child and be raised without having some stuff from that person or who raised you kind of rub off on you, right? Because that's normal, right? That's just the way it is. That's why it's important when you are able to pick your friends and all that great stuff to pick people who actually care about you and you actually care about them, and, you know, that's why it's like, you know, it's important to pick your friends, not their noses. Haha. Anyway, so the concept is really like, okay, you learn this stuff from your family. We get told things when we're growing up. These core wounds start in our childhood. They don't start later on down the road. You know, it's not like they're old, you know, like they're new things. They're kind of old. They've been around for a while, right? And it's interesting because I know that many of you listening, whether you're listening on USA Radio Networks around the country on AM or FM component radio, or you're actually watching the live feed on social media, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or LinkedIn, realize that, you know, growing up was tough. Growing up is challenging. Being a child is challenging. Going through that process. Kids are mean. Kids are mean. Kids are mean to each other. You know, some teachers are great. Some teachers are mean. Some situations are great. Some situations aren't. And so what happens is we go through the process of we begin to experience what I consider punishment for being ourselves. Right? We get punished to some degree. We get people disapprove of us of being ourselves, right? So, that, you know, think about it. Like, when you were growing up, some of you ladies out there were tomboys, right? You were more tomboys. You didn't wear makeup. Maybe you got made fun of for not doing that. You know, some of you men out there, maybe you weren't great at sports. You know, and that's kind of superficial right there, but at the same point, you know, maybe your attitude was different, or the way that you looked, or what you liked, or, you know, all those types of things, you know, because kids are cruel, and a lot of people make comments that they don't realize how they impact us, right? And how they impact us, and how that impact within us, we carry that for a long period of time. Because remember, growing up, we were young, we were pure, we didn't have all these hang-ups. We believed that we could be whoever we wanted to. And so a lot of the deep-rooted core wounds go back to, you know, self-rejection, a low self-esteem, right? Could be a high self-esteem to cover up something. Self-hatred, guilt. And some of this stuff can also be generational, right? Okay, so mom and dad could have felt it. Grandma and grandpa could have felt it. Great-grandma and grandpa could have felt it. You see what I'm saying? So it goes through the process. The teachings happen generation to generation. It gets handed down to us. Woo-hoo-hoo! Yes! Not the gift that you want to get, but the gift that keeps on giving, and sometimes a negative way. So let's think about it. So let's look at this, because I think we need to jump into this to make sure, because I know some of you are like, I don't have any core wounds. Ashley's not speaking to me today. None of this applies to me. And if that's the case, I'm so happy for you. But I have a funny feeling that some of this does apply to you. Okay. So how do we know if a core wound is manifesting some way in our life? How do we know if this is happening? Okay. How do we know? So let's talk about this, because I think this might be helpful. You know, one thing that I find when we have a core wound that we're not aware of is that one of the ways that it can manifest is that we're always our worst critic. So one of the ways that it can manifest is that we're constantly being our worst critic. We're constantly reminding ourselves of what a loser we are, or how much we failed, or how we can't just get it right. You know, and it's interesting because when we're our worst critic, we're constantly putting ourselves down, right? Constantly putting ourselves down. Where do you think that comes from? It's not like you just like, you know, you didn't order that at, you know, Whole Foods, you know, and order that one day, you know, on a plate, and you took that on forever. This is a core wound. This goes back to, you know, some of the stuff that we're talking about, which is that guilt, which is the fears, which was us being told that we're not good enough, or something happening big when we were being raised, or maybe somebody left us, or our family got divorced early, or there, whatever it looks like, or we were told that we're no good, or we're told that we're a loser, or we're told that we're not pretty, or we're told that we're ugly, or we're told that there's something wrong with us, right? Okay, I'm going to bring up the room a second. So in a positive way, we're going to learn about this today. It's not a scary thing. This is something that can really help us to understand, and it can be something that can really help us to figure out why we do what we do. Patterns are interesting. Many of us are in the same relationship patterns based on the fact that we have a core wound. Many of us are in the same relationship patterns at work because we have a core wound. Many of us keep picking the same type of friends that might not be our friends because of the core wound. Lots of things going on. Another indication that there's a core wound in your life is that you sometimes feel like you're not accepted. You sometimes feel like, you know, the loner, the outcast. You feel like you just can't fit in with anyone, right? And so it's kind of like that unique quality of us. At a young age, some of those unique qualities got blasted out of the water. Right? There's these unique qualities that were amazing that somebody made fun of, or a kid made fun of, or a teacher made fun of, or multiple people made fun of, right? And you're just like, oh, you're so down on it. You just want to fit in. At any cost, you want to fit in. Remember when we were in school, too, like in elementary school, middle school? Like, the last thing you wanted to do was stand out in a crowd, right? Nobody wanted to stand out in a crowd. And it's interesting, like, growing up with my voice, right? I mean, that's challenging. And that's an example of, you know, something that you can be made, that can be used against you because it's unique, right? It's a unique voice. You know, I always wanted that cheerleader voice. You heard me say this multiple times. If you've ever followed anything that I've talked about, you know that. And it wasn't until the last 12 years that I started embracing my voice. And I remember it was interesting because, you know, I was, as a girl, you're made fun of because all these other girls in school all have this like high-pitched, really high-pitched cheerleader voice. It's so cute. You know, they sound like Muppets. You know, it's so high. It's so cute. But and it's just your voice, and you can't change it. I mean, you could, I guess, but you're not going to be very, you know, authentic. You know, I still get comments on YouTube, and some people love my voice, or people make fun of it, hate it, can't stand it, don't want to hear it. You know, you got the extremes, and you deal with that your whole life, and everybody has something like that. Right? Everybody has something like that that we have to persevere, because people will love you for that uniqueness. They will love you. And some people can't stand it. And they're going to tell you. Especially when they can hide behind things and say what they want to say without being in your face, they're going to tell you stuff, right? It's amazing. You know, social media and the internet's made it easier for people to be able to say whatever they say, and there's no retaliation. And the interesting part about it, though, is we all have one of those unique qualities, right? We all have that. And a lot of times we get afraid because we don't want people to attack us for it. And see, a lot of times in school, you were attacked for it, right? A lot of times when you're in elementary school, middle school, attacked for it. Maybe you were really, really, really tall. You know, maybe you were a girl who's like 6 foot, right? Maybe you're a guy who's shorter. You know, maybe multiple things. Maybe you were born with two different color eye color. I mean, whatever it is, and you went through this. Maybe your hair was ultra curly and people would make fun of your hair. You know what I'm saying? All these different things that people make fun of that really, you know, maybe you were really, really, really super smart. Right? Maybe all these different things. You know, another indication is that you might have, is that there's a tendency, I think, to enter into relationships in the desire of finding something that we lack. Right, so we enter into relationships with other people, trying to fill that void subconsciously. Now, this isn't conscious. Subconsciously trying to fill that void and hoping that the other person can complete us. And I've talked about that in a recent show about how, you know, there's all these books, you know, growing up about how, you know, two halves make a whole. And there was actually a gentleman that told me the title of the book and actually reached out on YouTube to give me the title. And now it's gone out of my mind again. But I appreciate him for coming up with that. But, you know, I just don't get that. I don't agree with that. I think that's fundamentally flawed. You know, for two people to make a whole? No. It takes a whole person and another whole person and for two whole people to come together. And so one of the things is that, you know, we're trying to be completed by somebody else. And basically that's because we're lacking something within ourselves. We feel like we're lacking something. Another indication is that we often feel like we are not adequate. That we don't have enough tools to do something. That we are not enough. Right? I'm not lovable. I am not enough. I'm a bad person. I'm not a good person. I'm powerless. All of these feelings of feeling inadequate is usually what gets us into situations that hurt us, gets us into situations that are painful, gets us into situations that what? Bring us pain and suffering, and then we do it again and again, right? Because when we feel inadequate, we do things not to our highest good. We try to fit in, we try to give a lot, we do all these different things to hope that people don't leave us or see that we're inadequate, all those things, and that's why this is one of the big indications that we're dealing with a core wound, right? Because that is a core wound at the core. If I don't believe that I'm good enough at the core, that's what a core wound is. You see what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, my hair looked bad today. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, whatever. You know, I had a brain fart day. No, it's these depths of thoughts. And so when I return, I'll be talking more about this, more about these indications, as well as a list of the core wounds. Later in the hour, Dan Nelson will be here, and we'll be talking about the history of Eli Lilly, which will be kind of cool. And to understand that, it's always interesting. I don't know a lot of that history, so we'll find out. So stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
You heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years. Folks, it's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it, too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, get 2 MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life and do it now.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
You've heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years, folks. It's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, get two MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today we've been talking in a positive way about core wounds, how to know what our core wounds are and how to know when it's manifesting, and we'll be talking more about what core wounds are and which ones we can look at. But right before the break, I brought up the fact that one of the main ways that core wounds manifest in our life is that we feel inadequate. Right, we feel inadequate, we feel unlovable, we feel like we're not good enough. And, you know, we were born being good enough, right? But something changed. Something changed. Something was brought to our attention. Something was told to us. Maybe over and over again, maybe just a few times, about how there was something wrong that we did, or something that we weren't good enough at, or something that was weird about us, or what have you. Perhaps also, maybe there was a situation that took place in the family dynamic that made us believe that there's no way I'm lovable because of something that happened, or there's no way I'm good enough because of whatever happened. Another indication, now you might only have one of these situations. You could have a couple of these situations, but the other indication is, you know, you're constantly feeling a sense of abandonment. So feeling as though people are going to abandon you, betray you, leave you. And a lot of times in those situations, what do? We either just, you know, try to tackle them, Velcro to them, right, because we don't want them to leave us, and eventually, because they're suffocated, they'll leave, or we leave first because we would rather leave them before they leave us, right? And so we might have multiple relationships where we leave. Maybe we are in a string of short-term relationships and we find fault with them very quickly and we move on, or we find ourselves in a string of relationships where we hold on for a very long time, eventually broken up with, it's very painful, and we walk that same line again. You know, another indication is some of you out there have a perfectionist attitude. You have this thing about perfectionism, and I think that's always very interesting. We have to have perfection. And it's interesting because usually that's because there were problems growing up. Maybe that was our way, the perfectionism, was our way of trying to control things. Also, that might be the way that we think, you know, that we're good. That's also a way of us holding back from delivering ourselves as an individual. Like, we have to make it perfect before we do something. I know that some of us work on a project until it's like, you know, we work on it for 15 years. It's still not perfect. You're not going to show it. You know, it's like having that art piece that you've worked on forever, but you still can't show it to a crowd. You know, and I find that, you know, we have a tendency to, there might be a tendency of being dishonest or inauthentic, not being true to ourselves, to gain acceptance from others or to gain approval from others. Maybe you feel like you're not good enough. Again, a lot of this goes back to not being good enough, right? A lot of this goes back to the fear of being oneself. A lot of this goes back to the fear of being hurt. A lot of this goes back to the fear of being alone, the fear of being abandoned, the fear of being lonely. You know, all these things go back to that. Right? The desire to just fit in. And so this is normal. This is normal because many of us do deal with these types of core wounds. And, you know, there's a lot of varying core wounds, but, you know, the core wound and then the core beliefs directly relate, right? So if we have this wound, our belief is as such. And I'll give you one example of a core wound before we go to break, and that is abandonment, right? There's something, and in the process of dealing with the core wound of abandonment, that core fear, right, core wound, core fear, we feel that we're not good enough. We're not lovable enough. We're not whatever that look. We're not worthy. Whatever that looks like. And we're going to be talking more about that when we return. Dan's going to join me here later on in the third segment here. But I just thinking about this stuff. All of this is awareness, right? It's all awareness. That's all it is. This is awareness is key to our lives and our relationships, and that's all we're getting out of here. So we're going to be continuing to have this discussion. Stay tuned. Live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burtis. We'll be back in. I'll be back this time. Two shakes.
I hope you've enjoyed my history and lore trails here on Ashley's True Life Show. I know that there are many more amazing stories in your own family that we can discover in your tree. Hi, I'm Dan from Dancestors Genealogy. We take the hard part of discovering your family's past away from you by doing all of the research. You and your family end up with a beautifully bound heirloom book to view and enjoy. As a longtime genealogist, my staff and I know precisely where to look. We know what to look for and to preserve your story. So consultations with me are always free. Create your family heirloom book for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or next Christmas by talking with me, Dan, at Dancestors Genealogy. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's DancestorsGenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
FBI Director Christopher Wray says the agency is currently investigating about 100 ransomware cases. The White House says President Biden views recent ransomware attacks as a national security concern. He told the Wall Street Journal that many of them are tied to criminals living in Russia. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says recent attacks targeting gas and beef suppliers have raised national security concerns.
New to us over the last couple of weeks, but it has been increasing rapidly around the world over the last several years.
She says President Biden will raise the issue of cybersecurity with Russian President Vladimir Putin when the two meet in Geneva later this month. He'll also meet with Queen Elizabeth, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, and Turkish President Recep Erdogan on his trip to Europe next week. This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
It up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking in a positive way about core wounds today, and I know that's just like, oh my gosh, you know, bring the room up, come on. But I mean, this is stuff that we got to talk about. This is real stuff, and it's like, you know, once we know that we have to just deal with this, it's just kind of a rite of passage, and I really do think that it is. Okay, I really do. And you know, the reason why we're on this planet is to learn more about ourselves and to understand why we're here and understand our purpose, and our purpose is understanding who we are. Okay, see, it's cyclical, you know. That's what it is. You know, purpose is understanding who we are. Why are we here? Is to understand who we are and what we're doing here. And that's the basis of life. I mean, show me another one. Because you know what? This is, I've been researching this for a long time, and I feel like I'm right on point with this. Okay? And so right before the break, I was talking about some of the list of core wounds. I was talking about abandonment, you know, right? Many of us have a fear of abandonment. We feel like we're unlovable. We feel like people are going to leave us. We feel like, you know, we're always being left. We feel like we're not good enough. People don't stick around. What about betrayal? Fear of being betrayed, you know, again, goes back to the hopelessness, the unworthiness, the failure. You know, I mean, these are very interesting. And a lot of times, too, we, you know, act a certain way or change the way we are based on different situations, based on the feeling or theory that we have to be a certain way. You know, it's interesting because, you know, the physical, the mental, the emotional, the sexual, you know, many of us feel like we're unsafe or we feel like we're punishable or we deserve bad things or we're not good people. And then rejection is a big one, too, you know. You know, being rejected. I don't deserve love, or I'm not a good person, or I have to be perfect, or I'm never going to be, you know, a part of it. I'm never going to belong. And so a lot of this goes back to understanding where this began, and a lot of this goes back to just seeing the truth. And that's all that's important, is just seeing the truth. That's where it's to understand, okay, where did this start? What can I do? How do I understand it? How do I get through this? And some of us will talk about it as shadow work, right? There's a, you know, shadow work. And shadow, the shadow self is an interesting concept in its own because, you know, we're basically embracing all aspects of ourself, right? You know, we have these wonderful qualities ourselves, but we also have these qualities that we push under the rug. And that's the thing that we have to really look at. And we have to understand that sometimes we repress that side of us, and then the repression of that becomes even harsher, even more troubling to deal with. And so it's like, you know, we have to just get to that point where we can honestly understand. And I think, you know, one of the things that I've realized is that, you know, when we do feel like we're unworthy, okay, or we do feel like we're not good enough, or we do feel like we're not smart enough, or we do feel like there's something missing, I mean, you know, why is that? I mean, it's like, you know, it's identifying why that is. It's understanding. It's not sweeping it in the rug and going, oh, I don't feel good or comfortable about that situation, or I feel stressed out, or I don't want to deal with that. But it's like those self-negating and those negative aspects of how we talk to ourselves is what we really need to investigate. You know, and that's one of the things that that's what I call the broken record, right? The negative broken record. It's like, you know, a record is a song, like record songs are on records, right? But the thing is that when we have that negative broken record, it's that constant comment over and over again, or constant barrage of comments over and over again, that it's almost like a broken record because it's the same thing day after day. And what happens is a lot of times we don't realize that that is happening. We don't realize that those comments are in our brain. We don't realize that that's actually taking place. And so we don't realize that we're actually acting from it all the time. And that's something that we got to think about too, is that if we don't realize that we're acting from it, we don't actually realize that we're doing it. And I want us to always be aware of what we're doing. I want us to be constantly aware of who we are. I want us to be constantly aware of what's happening. And that's the key. And so it's like, if we can become aware, we can become powerful. If we can become aware, we can become successful. If we become aware, we can become comfortable in our own skin. And that's why we're talking about this today. It's not about harping on pain and agony from the past and bringing up all these pains. But it's really about the concept of, you know, really investigating ourselves. I mean, that's all it is. And that's what I think we have to really focus on. And that's where we have to go from there, right? And so the childhood wounds that we're dealing with, you know, whether it's based on abuse or neglect or violence or just being overwhelmed as a child, we have to figure out how to solve that. We have to figure out how to work with this. We have to figure out how to work with the situation. And that's key. Right? How do we heal those? How do we heal ourselves? How do we heal relationships? And it all starts with us. See, that's the key, is that folks go, well, I really want to make this relationship work. And that's awesome. That's awesome. But you know what? At the same point, we got to figure out how to make us work. We got to figure out what makes us tick. We got to figure out how to get to that level of understanding ourselves. And I think that once we get there and really get to understand where we're at, we can really understand who we are. And so, you know, if you look at some patterns in your life, you know, think about it. Do you have patterns with relationships? Do you have relationships that seem to be unsuccessful? Do you seem to be in relationships for a long period of time, even when you feel like the relationship is kind of falling apart? Do you feel resentful and angry because you feel as though you're giving so much to yourself and not getting anything back in return? I mean, these are questions to ask. You know, do you feel like you're being used or taken advantage of in your friendships? You know, I mean, like, think about it, because a lot of times when we feel like we're being used and taken advantage of, I mean, like, sometimes maybe we're not, but sometimes maybe we are, and it's because we've been giving so much. What about in our relationships where we allow people to walk all over us? What about in personal romantic relationships where we don't get our needs met, or we don't talk about our emotions, or we're not transparent with our emotions because of fear of, you know, being made fun of? Or even probably more precise is that we don't want to push the other person away. We're scared that they're going to take it wrong. We're scared that they're going to take it personally. We're scared that they're going to leave us. If we tell the truth, what if they leave us? What if they leave us? What if they actually leave us? What if that happened? And that's something that happens too. And that's where we get to that point where we're in such fear, you know, because of this, that we allow people to do things in our life that maybe we wouldn't allow otherwise. You know, also, it's, you know, a lot of times, though, remember, it's kind of like, it's really like that blind spot. And that's why I'm talking about it. And that's, I'm not going to give out so much information that's overwhelming and bombarding you today. But it's just, it's kind of a blind spot issue, right? Because we all have these amazing qualities about us. We all have this great stuff going for us. We all have things that are awesome. We all have things that we excel at, okay? But then it's this other stuff that's just kind of the blind spot. It's like having that blind spot in the car, and it's right there, and you don't always remember it, right? You seldom remember it. You forget about it. And it's easier to solve other people's problems than our own, right? And so it's like we got to realize, like, a lot of times when we're triggered to get angry, or we're triggered to have resentment, or we're triggered to be upset by something, or we're triggered to take something personally, or we're triggered to make something perfect, no matter what, those are some indications that there's something up. There's just something below the surface that hasn't really come yet out into fruition, into the front lines. You see what I'm saying? And that's the key. That's the key. And that's where we need to be at. And that's what I want us to really think about, because when we have these little triggers and we have these little anger pieces, or we have these times where we feel exhausted or overwhelmed or resentment or anger or challenged or overwhelmed or whatever that looks like, that's when we have to get there and say, okay, you know what? I see it. I see it for what it is. And that's what I have to deal with. And there's something at my core that's making me feel a certain way. And that's interesting, because once we realize there's something at the core, we realize there's something more, and that's why it upsets us, that's why it triggers us. So now let's talk about history. Let's talk about history right now, because we're going to be talking about some interesting history that relates with psychology, pharmaceuticals, all kinds of interesting stuff. Dan Nelson, our resident historian. Dan, great to have you today. How are you doing?
Doing good, Ashley. Glad to be here.
Hey, glad to have you. I know that you're traveling and y'all stopped at a rest stop to make this reality happen. So I'm interested in what historical nuggets of information you have for us today.
Yeah, normally the words history and pharmaceuticals don't come across each other too often, but this particular story does. I thought it'd be interesting to the audience there. But my great-great-grandfather, he served in the Civil War with the founder of the home of Prozac and other psychological drugs. So a name you probably all heard of was Eli Lilly, and he was an American soldier, pharmacist, chemist, and businessman. Of course, he founded the namesake company. So before he did all the businessman stuff, he enlisted in the Union Army during the American Civil War, and he recruited a company of men to serve with him in the 18th Independent Battery Indiana Light Artillery. That's a mouthful. So my great-grandfather, he kept a diary during the Civil War, and he kept copies of all of his letters home. And so we have all that, and we have it all published in a book. And interestingly, in one of these books, he mentions Eli Lilly. And it appeared, by the way, the notes written, that he expected his wife to know also who Eli Lilly was. So I'm not sure how they knew each other before the war, because they lived about 140 miles apart, so not just, you know, jump on the horse and go over there kind of deal. So this is the letter, this is the actual entry in his, or the letter that he wrote that day, on July 5th, 1862, from Memphis, Tennessee, where their Union Army was occupying this southern town. So he says, the weather's pretty warm, but I guess we can stand it. He commented on the weather every single day. Says, this is fine country, well improved, and has good water. We have moved our camp into the city and now camped in the Charleston Depot. Our company, that is Company E, is in the roundhouse. We are on patrol duty and are called provost guards. It is our duty to walk the streets and dispose of crowds and pour out all intoxicating liquors. For me, a part of this is rather unpleasant. I never like to be continually in the presence of those that hate me. So apparently the Southerners did not appreciate the Union Army occupying their camp. Says, last evening, Sergeant Snodgrass with Eli Lilly and I was sent to a fine mansion to arrest the owner and a visitor, a Mr. King, for selling whiskey to soldiers and drinking toasts to Jefferson Davis. Lilly took one and I took the other. I took Mr. King, but we had to force them along. They tried to delay us in every way. I at one time feared a crowd that seemed to be gathering around us. But we hurried up a little and all went well. We took them to the Irving block where the provost marshal's office was. As I turned Mr. King over to the prison guards, he gave me a silver half dollar, which, you know, is probably like giving somebody $20 today, and asked to go and inform his wife where he would stay the night. It then being dark. I knew where he lived, and we went and did as he requested of me. His wife opened the door. She appeared a little frightened, but thanked me very politely when I told her that Mr. King requested me to inform her that he would stay the night in the Irving block. And then he comments that we've since learned that both these men were worth $100,000, which, you know, would be a multimillionaire today easily. Then his last comment is, the Negroes, and he has a parenthesis, slaves, of course, had a dance yesterday for us and a few others looking on. They numbered 400 or 500 and color range from jet black to white. They was well-dressed, good dancers, and appeared to enjoy themselves. So this is a while before he later lost his eye in the Vicksburg campaign, and he could have used some of Eli Lilly's medicine at that point. But back to Lilly, he was promoted to major, then colonel. He was put in charge of the cavalry unit, and he was captured in September 1864 and held as a prisoner of war until January 1865. After the war, he became one of those carpet baggers, tried to run a plantation in Mississippi, but it failed. So he went back to his pharmacy profession. Got several business partners in Indiana in these pharmacies, and opened his own company, which manufactured drugs and marketed them on a wholesale basis to pharmacies. And he became quite wealthy doing this, and some of the early things he did that today we take for granted is he was the first to create gelatin capsules to contain medicines and developing their fruit flavoring. So you think about, you know, how yucky drugs taste if you ever had to have them without that or medicine. He sort of tried to help with that. And they were the first to have a dedicated research department and put in a bunch of quality assurance procedures. He turned the management company over to his son, and he put his efforts into charitable stuff. So you read about people today, you know, wealthy people doing that. He was an early contributor to charity. And the Eli Lilly Foundation stands today, and it's a big donor to causes. He was also an advocate of federal regulation of the pharmaceutical industry, and many of his reforms got put into law with the Food and Drug Administration. He was one of the pioneers of the concept of prescriptions. It used to just be anybody could get whatever drug if they had the money for it and knew where to get it, and particularly with addictive or dangerous medicines. So he was quite influential in terms of, you know, today, we just assume pharmaceuticals and prescriptions are part of everyday life, but we don't know how it got there. His company was the first to mass produce the polio vaccine, developed by Jonas Salk, and insulin also, and working with recombinant DNA. So currently they're the largest manufacturer of psychiatric medications and drugs such as Prozac, Dolophine, which is methadone, Cymbalta, and Zyprexa. So quite a way since he was fighting in the Civil War. So that's the story of my great-great-grandfather hanging out with this eventual pharmaceutical magnate and leader in the development of pharmaceutical industry.
That's awesome. Wow, what a legacy there, Dan. Thanks for coming up with all that information. I think that a lot of us were very interested in that information, and most folks know about Eli Lilly, but they didn't know that, and the fact that they fought together is pretty powerful. So stay tuned. We'll be back. We'll be talking more about core wounds. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here
on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway? Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic.
This is Jay Fusey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Great shows, great talking to Dan today. And, you know, we were talking about core wounds, and we've been talking about, you know, how they impact us and how to know that we're dealing with it. And one of the things that I've realized is that, our feelings are very important, our feelings. And I don't like to get all, beaten down into feelings. I'm not over there like, oh, we got to talk about feelings all the time, But at the same time, our feelings do matter. And I think that a lot of times when we're dealing with core wounds, because we don't want to really deal with them, or because we haven't dealt with them. That's better said, I think. It's a more appropriate. We don't really look at our feelings. And then when we do have feelings about certain things like sadness or frustration or, whatever that looks like, it's interesting because we don't really go into that feeling. We don't sit with that feeling. We don't understand where that feeling began or why that feeling exists. We don't want to sit with it. We avoid it at all costs, right? We don't want to sit with it. We avoid it at all costs because it scares us, because we don't want to deal with what's coming up from that. We don't want to deal with how that is connected to us. We don't want to deal with that. And so if we can sit with it a little bit, and a lot of times I like us to analyze and just write down some stuff. Journaling is very powerful because it takes the stuff out of your head and it puts it on paper. Okay, so you're able to write down some of your feelings, process them a little better than being sucked into a whirlwind of emotion, right? Process them. Being able to be mindful You know, so we have these feelings that come in. Instead of, like, pushing them under the rug, or instead of, you know, trying to suppress them, or instead of doing something to try to quiet them, like alcohol or drugs or whatever it is, just sitting with it for a moment, writing down some thought. Where is this coming from? Where is this feeling coming from? Why do I have this feeling? You know, many of us run from our feelings because we don't want to deal with it. But when we run from our feelings, we're running from ourselves. Our feelings are just, you know, symptoms of there's a situation that we need to be aware of. You know, also just being mindful, being able to be aware of when we have a thought, when we have a feeling, when we're having an actual physical discomfort. When we have a thought in our mind that keeps swimming around. And it doesn't seem to go away. Why does that thought keep coming around? Because it wants you to listen. There's something going on. And sometimes what we hear, we don't want to hear. But it's like, where is that coming from? Why am I hearing that? There's only so much that you can numb something. There's only so much you can do. It keeps coming back anyway. So it's like, we got to deal with it at some point. I mean, eventually we want to walk on that rug and not have a bunch of crap under it, you know, and fall and twist our ankle because all the stuff we have under the rug. We want to have it where there's nothing under the rug anymore. I think also being able to have some introspection and being able to spend time on our own. And that's hard for a lot of us, right? We don't want to be alone. Scared to be alone. Oh, God, what am I going to find out if I'm alone? I don't want to learn anymore. Maybe I want to learn something horrible about myself. Well, I mean, really? I don't think you're going to learn anything horrible about yourself. I think we already kind of know stuff. It's just now we're just going to process it and get it out and try to walk through it. And not cringe all the time when we have there. Not try to run away from it or try to busy ourselves, right? We're going to actually kind of step up to the plate and take ownership of it. The interesting thing, and I want to bring an opportunity here, because I think that sometimes we see this stuff as just like a challenge. We see it as overwhelming. We see it as a horrible challenge. We see it as all these problems and issues. It's really not a challenge. It's really not a challenge. Right? I mean, really, honestly, what it is it gives us a rite of an opportunity, a rite of passions to try to figure out something about ourselves. Because if we had everything figured out in this lifetime, what would be the purpose of being here? If we had everything figured out, what would we be learning? And so I think that if we actually accept the fact that this is a learning opportunity and look at it from those different levels, we begin to see the power that we have. And we begin to realize that we actually, too, can solve something of great interest for us that can change our lives forever. But only we have the key to this. Nobody else can do it for us. People can help us. You can find, I mean, I work with clients to do this. You can find another life coach. You can find a therapist. You can find someone that does EMDR. You can find all kinds of people that will help you, that have resources to help you. But in the end, you have to do it. And that's what's so powerful. So I appreciate you listening to the show. I hope that the show has impacted you in some positive way where you've seen, found something, or said, you know what, it's time for me to start journaling and start seeing myself, start expressing myself, and start understanding where this is coming from. Because guess what? I deserve it, because I deserve to know more about myself. Don't forget to live your true life and live your true life perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in. Well, I'll be back this time in 3 shakes.
It is interesting to see how the subjects on Ashley's True Life show and current events so often correlate with past events. As Ashley says, history often repeats itself. Our Dancestors genealogy research comes across great stories from the past that tie to families and our shared history regarding what happens in our country and our community. Dancestors clients have had ancestors that were colonizers, explorers, founders of religions, gunslingers, kings and queens, knights, pirates, heroic soldiers, witches, and witch hunters. Let's find out who the characters are in your family tree. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's dancestorsgenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.